We read the scripture that I usually use when we have the Lord's Supper, and you might say, well, how is that a scripture for a Thanksgiving message? I want to, again, refer you back to the words that I put in the bulletin. I won't take the time to read them. I read them in open assembly for Sunday school, but a little poem about a man who gave a turkey to another man, who gave his chicken to a lady, who gave a pie to another lady, who made a cake for some children, who gave a slice to another child who shared some crumbs with some birds. And the point of that little poem or that little story in the bulletin that is that if we want to have a good Thanksgiving, we ought to give something away. And so this morning, I want to use just that first verse that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, where the Apostle Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Paul says, God gave me something, I want to give it to you. God blessed me with something, I want to bless you with it. You know, there's two kinds of Christians in the world today. Those who have something to offer and those who don't. The first kind, those who have something to offer, are like Peter and John, and a story we read about them in Acts chapter 3. They were on their way into the temple. We talked about this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. And there was a crippled man there, man that had been lame from the time of his birth. He was begging. He was asking alms. And he thought he needed gold. What he really needed was to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that this crippled man gave heed unto them, Peter and John, expecting to receive something of them. And by the way, the world expects us Christians, they expect something from us. I mean, you remember the father who brought his son to the disciples in Matthew chapter 17, verse 16. He says, "I have brought my son to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." The world is looking for us as Christians to be a people that has something for them. And as Peter and John encountered this lame man, they said unto him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What Peter says, hey, God's blessed me with something. I don't have the stuff that you want, the silver and gold, but the stuff that I do have, I'm going to share it with you. So they represent one type of Christian in the world today. The second kind of Christian is represented by the man in Luke chapter 11, verse 6. He had a guest come at midnight. He went next door. He woke up his neighbor and he said, "I have company. I have nothing to set before them." So again, two types of Christians. Those that say, "Such as I have, I give thee," and those that say, "I have nothing to set before thee." Now, I want to tell you, the second group don't know what they're talking about. Because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you indeed have something to share with other people. In fact, my message this morning, again, tying back to the words I put in the bulletin, if you want to have a good Thanksgiving, if you want to have a blessed Thanksgiving, find something that you have that you can give to somebody else. It'll make Thanksgiving more real. It'll make Thanksgiving better than if you just keep everything you have for yourself. And so I want to talk to the Christians this morning. I want you to know that all of us have five things that we can give away because these are things that the Lord has given us. The first one is salvation. God's given us salvation, and we can give that salvation to other people. We can't save anybody ourselves, but you can give to others what God gave you. You see, what God gave you was somebody in your life that came to you and told you that you were a sinner. Perhaps they quoted from the book of Romans, "There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God gave you a person that told you that there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. God gave somebody to you that told you that Jesus paid the price that you owed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All of the punishment for our sin was laid upon Jesus Christ. He died paying the price that we owe. And God sent somebody into your life that told you that story. They told you that if you've received Christ, If you would depend on him for what he did on Calvary to make you right with God, he would save you from the penalty of your sin. He would write your name in the Lamb's book of life. He would guarantee you a home in heaven. And one day, and again, it happened probably on a different day for everybody in this room this morning, but one day that story sunk in, the Holy Spirit wooed you to the Savior, and you got saved. You asked Jesus to be your Savior. You confessed that you were a sinner. You prayed and asked for his forgiveness and applied the blood of Christ to your sin. And today you're on your way to heaven. Your sins are under the blood. You don't stand accountable for those anymore. God gave that to you. Now, we can give that to other people. Every Christian has that to give. Don't be the kind of Christian that says, I have nothing to set before my fellow man. You can do that. I mean, the disciples did it. Andrew was out listening to John the Baptist one day. John the Baptist talked to him about the Messiah. Andrew and another disciple followed John the Baptist and heard about Jesus. What's the first thing he did? He left Jesus. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and he brought his brother Simon, the one that we know as Peter, to Christ. So Andrew said, I got something from God. Brother Peter, I want to give it to you. There was another disciple there that day, Philip. Philip was with Andrew when he was with John the Baptist. He heard about the Messiah. He went and found Nathanael and said, Nathanael, I got something from God. I want to give it to you. I said, we found the Messiah. We found the one they've been looking for. And Philip brought Nathanael to Christ. And I know you might say this morning, well, preacher, they were disciples. It was easy for them to do that. All right, let me give you another example from John chapter 4. What about the woman at the well? Met Jesus by the well. He told her of her sin. He told her, said, hey, if you drink of this well water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. That lady who had been married 5 times, was living with a man that was not her husband, went back into town, told them what Jesus had told her, told them what Jesus had given to her, and the Bible says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of that woman. We have salvation. We can give it to other people. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. You're not a Christian that has nothing to set before people. You're a Christian. You've been saved. You can share salvation. Number two, we can share the truth. Paul was talking about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul was living in a day that was destitute of truth. He talked to Timothy about it when he wrote Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Paul said, hey, Timothy, in the latter days, people aren't going to believe the truth. They're going to believe the lies that Satan tells. They're going to believe the lies that the spirit of the world tells. And they won't even want to hear the truth. In fact, Paul said, they'll heap to themselves preachers that itch ears. Preachers that tell people what they want to hear instead of telling them the truth. Well, if that was true in Paul's day, it's truer today. People don't want to hear the truth today. People want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want anybody to tell them they're a sinner. They don't want anybody to tell them that they're accountable to God for that sin. They don't want people to tell them that. And listen, as Christians, we know the truth of God, and we can share that truth with other people. Paul was doing it here in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. He was sharing the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth. He said, hey, that same night he was crucified, he took bread and break it, said, this is my body. When you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. He took the cup and passed the cup. This blood is the New Testament, or this wine is the New Testament in my blood. The new covenant, it comes from the blood of Christ. He was sharing the truth. We need to share that truth today. We have that truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. We have the truth. We need to share it. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's God's plan for getting his truth out. He gave it to Paul. Paul gave it to Timothy. And he told Timothy, "You teach it to faithful men that can teach other people." God's given us the truth. He's given us the truth. Hey, we live in a world of lies. We live in a world that tries to cover up the truth. We live in a world where people stretch the truth and don't tell the truth. But thank God we have a God who is truth and has given us that truth and says, "I want you to share it with other people." And so Paul says, "What I've received of the Lord, I've received the truth. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you." Number three, we have material things to give. God's given us everything. Everything that we have comes from God. And all of us can share our material possessions with others. Now, there may be people here this morning who say, "Well, preacher, I can't do that. I'm as poor as Job's turkey." I've heard that saying all my life. I've read the book of Job. I can find no reference to his turkey in the book of Job. You ever see that, Brother Harry? No, I haven't either. But listen, you think you're so poor you can't share nothing? Let me tell you about a lady, a poor lady. Let me read you her story from Luke chapter 21. "And he," Jesus, "looked up and saw the rich casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites," less than a penny. "And he said, 'Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all.'" He said this to his disciples. His disciples were there. They saw what was going on. I mean, they saw all these rich people come. And yeah, they took the offering in a different way. They had a container in the back, and people would come and put their offering in that container. And I'm sure these rich people, because they wanted to notice, would bring all their offering in coins, and it would make a lot of noise as it went into the collection container. Here was a poor widow. All she had was two mites. She snuck up there. She quietly dropped her two mites in the collection container, hoping and praying that nobody would see her. And I'm sure none of the people that were there took notice. But there was one man there that did take notice, the man and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you see, he not only saw what that lady gave, he saw what she had left after she gave. "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." She gave everything. Now, the verse wasn't written yet. The verse was going to be written years later in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That verse hadn't been written yet, hadn't been put on parchment yet. But this lady believed it. How much could she buy with two mites? Probably not enough to take care of her daily needs. But she says, "I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to depend on God to meet my needs. I'm going to depend on God to take care of me." Now, if you've been coming for a while, you know that I don't spend much time speaking on tithing. It's because our church is a giving church. We beat the budget every month, and we have a giving people. But I want to remind you this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ says it was right to tithe. In the book of Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone." What Jesus was saying, you ought to have tithed. It's the right thing to do. But you ought to have also taken into account the law and judgment and mercy. You ought to do that. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is connected to tithing. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, whether all, it shall be measured to you again." God gives to us. We give back to Him, and we give to others. And then God gives to us, and we give to Him, and back to others, and He gives to us. That's the way it works. That's the way, it's a principle of giving that's taught in the Bible. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, "Remember the words of the Lord." Not the words of the church, not the words of this preacher, Paul would say, but the words of the Lord, the words of Christ. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And he wasn't just talking about tithing. He says it's more blessed to give to others than it is to receive. The greatest miracle in the Bible, I think, other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has to do with giving. In fact, it's the only miracle that's recorded in the four Gospels. Anybody have an idea what that miracle is? All right, let me tell you. It was the miracle when a little boy brought his lunch to a crowd to hear Jesus to speak. And they had been there for a number of days. And Jesus said to his disciple, "Hey, let's give these people something to eat." And his disciple said, "Hey, we don't have any food and we don't have enough money to buy all these people food." And Andrew said, "But Lord, there's a little boy here that has a small lunch. He has five little pieces of bread and two fishes, and Lord, he's willing to give it to you if you can use it." And Jesus said, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me." And you know the story. I don't need to finish it. Jesus broke the bread. He broke the fish. He fed 5,000 men besides the women and children are there. Some people think there were over 15,000 people there that day. And from this little lunch that was given by this little lad, Jesus fed this crowd, and they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. He was a poor boy. He had a poor boy's lunch. I mean, the biscuits were like sliders. You could take one bite and they were, if you don't know what sliders are, see me after the service. But you could take one bite and they were gone. I mean, they weren't big biscuits that you could put a lot of gravy on and stuff like that. You could swallow probably all five of them in one bite. And he shared his lunch. He was a poor boy. He realized that what he got was from a blessing from God. And when the Savior needed his lunch, he said, "I'll give it to you. You gave it to me in the first place. I'll give it to you." And again, we don't know what happened to those 12 baskets. I think, here's what I think happened. I think Jesus made the 12 disciples carry him and follow that little boy home and walk up to his front porch and lay him on his front porch. His mother come out and said, "What's all this?" And that little boy said, "Mama, I shared my lunch with Jesus. And this is what we got. Probably enough food to feed him for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I don't know. But I know when we give, we cannot outgive God. And when we, and again, if you want to make this Thanksgiving one of the most blessed ones you have, then find something to give away to somebody. Find a widow. Find some motherless children. Find somebody that's poor. And give something that you have. We as Christians can do that. Number four, quickly, we have a testimony to give. In Psalm 107, verse 2, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who hath he redeemed from the hand of the enemy." He's redeemed us. He's bought us from Satan's clutches. We need to tell people. Jesus is our example. Again, Paul writes to Timothy, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, which quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." We need to have a good testimony. We need to have a good testimony at home. We need to have a good testimony at work. We need to have a good testimony at school. The book of Romans says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And in this Thanksgiving season, we need not to be ashamed of the one who went to the cross for us, of the one who took the lashes from the whips for us, of the one who took the crown of thorns and the nails in his hands and his feet. We need not to be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And then number five, we have a life to give. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We didn't know what life was until we found Jesus Christ. We didn't know what life was all about until we got saved. Let's give that life to others. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, we that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. That's what Jesus meant when he said, hey, you want to save your life? Then you lose it in others. People that live for themselves are some of the most miserable people that walk the face of the earth. But the people that give of themselves to the Lord and give of themselves to others know what it is to have life and to have it more abundantly. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I just mentioned five things this morning. I challenge you. This week that we celebrate Thanksgiving, you think about what God has given you. I think it'd be good to do that song that we started the service with, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. I challenge you this week, get a piece of paper out. Start listing the things that God has given you. Just list them. List them. And then look at that list. And I dare say, I mean, if we truly tried, we couldn't do it on one piece of paper. We'd have to have a notebook. We'd have to have a lot of paper if we listed everything that God gave us. But then I challenge you, look at that list and ask this question, what could I give away? What could I give away to somebody else? What could I give away to somebody that is not as fortunate as I, that God hasn't blessed as much as I? What could I give away? And as that little story in the bulletin says, you want a good Thanksgiving? That'll make it a good Thanksgiving. Look, you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior. We want to share what God's given us with you. You are a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Our Savior died for your sin. And just like he offered us eternal life, he offers to you this morning eternal life. You don't get it any other way. Nobody comes to God but by him. You can't get your sins forgiven any other way. You can't get right with God any other way. It's only through Jesus Christ. We'd love to tell you this morning how you can receive him. Love to pray with you and help you ask him to be your Savior. We'll give you an opportunity to do that in just a second. We'll bow our heads in just a minute. We'll have an invitation song and invite you to come. And if you're here and you're not saved, if you come, we'll share what God has given us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being so good to us. So good. We praise you for who you are, but we also praise you for everything that you've done. Help us to not hang on to it, Father. Help us to realize there's people that you've put in our lives that need some things that we have, and what a blessing it would be for us to give it to them. I pray this Thanksgiving, as we're reminded of all that you've done for us, we'd look around and we'd see people that we could be a blessing to too. Help us to give. Just bless this time of invitation. If there is somebody here that's never received Christ, help them to come as we sing. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe there's people here that need to make other decisions. The altar's open. Help us to use it, Father. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.